Hello and greetings in the Lord's name. The message I want to share today is entitled, For You Have Need of Endurance, which is taken from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. So if you'd like to turn there and let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Lord, we do call upon you that as we look at your word now, as we delve into the scriptures, that by your Spirit you would give us illumination. And we pray that the things we look at this morning would really strengthen and encourage our hearts and would impart to us the grace to persevere and to endure. So help us, Lord, we pray, in your word now. Amen. So, to read from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. And so there in verse 36 we have this phrase, you have need of endurance. And that word endurance is the Greek word hypomone, which is Strong's Concordance defines as being cheerful or hopeful endurance or constancy. And it comes from another word which essentially means to stay under, to remain under something, to undergo or to bear something, and to have fortitude or to persevere. And broadly speaking, the word is used in two different ways. So it can be seen in the active sense, if you like, in the sense of persisting in or persevering in something. And then there's the, if you like, the passive sense of patiently enduring trials, chastisement or affliction. That's just a rough overview of how it's used, this word, in the scriptures. And it's a theme that occurs throughout the New Testament, which is where we're going to be focusing in this study. So it occurs in the Gospels, in Paul's writings, in the letter to the Hebrews, in the book of James, Peter uses the word, and it occurs a lot also in the book of Revelation. So it's a theme that you see throughout the New Testament. So first of all, let's have a look at the book of Romans, chapter 15. So again, the Greek word tends to be translated in two different ways. Principally, it's either perseverance or endurance, and this is in the New American Standard I'm using. It is also translated as steadfastness in a handful of places too. But Romans 15 verse 5 says this, Now may the God of perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. And so the sentence continues. But I just want to focus on the fact that the Lord is described as the God of perseverance. And perhaps that's an aspect of his character that we don't think of as much as we might. And well, I'm very thankful to God that he perseveres, that he persevered with me. But he's the God of perseverance. He is not a God who gives up quickly. And he is also able to impart to us the same perseverance. as we move on with the Lord and as we gain his character. So one thing that should be developing in us is this quality of perseverance. Then to move on to the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, first of all, and verse 4. So here is Paul writing to the Corinthians and describing how they commended themselves as servants of God. And you get this extraordinary list. So he writes, "But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonour, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things." What an incredible testimony, as it were, Paul points to here. But the very beginning of it, he says that we commended ourselves as servants of God in much endurance. And no wonder that was necessary, given all that follows. But this is the beginning, as he points out the aspects of their lives that, in a sense, attested to their true servanthood. Endurance is at the top of that list. So it's certainly something that we need to add into our lives too. And then moving on into 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. In a similar vein here, but Paul writes again, "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." So now, rather than attesting to his servanthood, Paul is pointing to the qualities that attested to their apostleship. And again, it's perseverance that Paul refers to, first of all. So both as servants and as apostles, this quality of perseverance was one of the chief characteristics, it was seen. And then, just to complete this sort of introduction, if we go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, and John writes as follows, "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." So there was John, and he describes himself as a fellow partaker in three things in Jesus: tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance. These are things that are in the Lord Jesus, and maybe we all like the idea of the kingdom, and yet it sits in the middle of tribulation on one side and perseverance on the other. And we need to reckon with this fact and be ready to lay hold of all three, that we need to recognize that there will be tribulation increasingly in these days. And that word essentially means pressure. It comes from the idea of crowding in, being crowded. And is there not indeed an increasing pressure and various voices crowding in upon the true testimony of God in these days? And therefore we must have perseverance. And there is this perseverance in Jesus. It's a fundamental quality of the Lord Jesus himself, something that is in him, is this necessary perseverance which the Lord looks to all his people to have. So then, having seen a little bit of how important it was in the testimony of Paul and as described by John there, let's look at some of the ways in which we see it described and used in the active sense that I spoke about earlier. So let's go to the book of 1 Timothy now. We're going to turn to a good number of scriptures, so do feel free to pause the recording if you need to. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. So Paul writing says, but flee from these things, being referring to the previous verses to do with covetousness and the love of money and so on. And he says, flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue. So here's a list of things that the man of God is to pursue: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. We need to pursue perseverance. It's something that we ought to be aiming for and going after. And similarly, if we turn to 2 Peter now, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. We'll actually read from verse 5. Peter writes, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So here Peter lays out seven qualities, seven characteristics that are to be added to our faith. And in the midst of that list, again, comes up perseverance. And it's something that we need to be seeking to add and to build into our lives. Let's make that something to pray about. It's certainly something that I suppose I've not thought about all that much until I began to look into this subject more recently. So there we go. There's, if you like, the priority of perseverance laid out for us in those two verses and the need to add them into our faith. Secondly, let's have a look at how Paul, again writing to Timothy, so back in 2 Timothy chapter 3 now. In a sense, similarly to some of the other verses we looked at earlier, but Paul cites the example that he had set Timothy. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10. It says, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. So again, he's saying to Timothy here that you followed my manner of life. And among that, he includes the perseverance. So the perseverance that Paul showed was a part of the example he wanted to give to the younger Timothy. And he was saying to him, now you have followed these things. And so we too need to look to the example of others who've shown perseverance and seek to imitate that. And indeed, in the book of James, James says exactly this about a different group of people, but talking about the prophets of old. In James chapter 5, and verse 10, it says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5 also refers to the steadfastness of Christ himself. That is the same Greek word, steadfastness, just translated differently there. So we have Paul cites his own example of perseverance. We have the example of the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We have the example of Jesus himself. So these examples are given to us to emulate, to imitate. And so now let's have a look at some of the particular things that perseverance will bring forth, things it will produce. So let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 15. This is the Lord expounding the parable of the sower. And he says, "But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance." And that's a good thing, because sometimes we can be a bit impatient. Certainly, if I look back on my own life about fruit bearing, and we sort of want instant fruit. But we are to bear fruit with perseverance, even though the soil is good. This is the soil that's not hardened, it's not stony, it's not full of thorns. It's a good, well-prepared, receptive soil, and yet perseverance is required. Fruit was not going to immediately spring up. And indeed, it was the immediacy of the springing up of the seed that fell into the stony ground that actually gave away the fact that it was very superficial. It had no depth. And as soon as afflictions and persecutions arose, it withered and died. And yet here we have the good soil. And so with perseverance, fruit is born. So to any of us who are seeking greater fruit in our Christian lives, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged if you feel like there's small progress. Persevere with the Lord. Allow him to persevere with you as well. And fruit will be brought forth in time. Psalm 1 says about that man who meditates in the word of God. It says he brings forth its fruit in season. And there is a season for fruit bearing. So we need to persevere until that time. Next scripture, Romans chapter 2, verse 7. We'll just read from verse 6. Says about the Lord who will render to each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. So perseverance in doing good. Important that we do persevere even when there doesn't necessarily seem to be much of a result from our doing good. The scripture talks about not growing weary of doing good. We are to continue to do good, even though it may not seem to be respected or appreciated by those around us. Let's persevere, let's persist in doing what's good, in what's right in the sight of the Lord. Even if it's landing us some opposition, we are to persevere in doing good. Hebrews 12:1 says that we are to run with endurance, and it's the same Greek word, endurance, perseverance. We are to run with endurance the race that's set before us. Each of us has a race to run. Each of us has been given a course by the Lord that we are to pursue, and that's very personal to us. My race is not your race. Your race is not the same as anybody else's race. Each of us has a race to run with the Lord. And the Lord calls us to run that race with endurance. And we'll be able to do that, as the verse says, as we lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. So part of the way we are to have endurance is to make sure that we ditch all those things which are only going to hold us back and weigh us down. And then let's turn to the book of James and chapter 1. And reading from verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, as we allow endurance to have its perfect result, or its perfect work, literally, it will produce in us a perfection, i.e. a completeness. It will mean that we lack nothing. If we don't endure, if we try to take shortcuts. Remember that it has this sense of to abide under something. There are times when we just have to abide under a certain situation, a certain circumstance. And what to us may seem like just needless difficulty, actually it's doing something. The Lord is doing something through it. And endurance will have its perfect result, and that will be a perfection, a completeness, and a maturity in us. So let us take courage. If it seems that a situation, particularly if it's dragging on, let's seek by the grace of God as much as we can to consider it all joy when we encounter these trials, because the testing will produce the endurance, and that again will bring a completeness to our faith and to our character. So there are just some of the things that are produced by this endurance. I want to look at a couple of scriptures now specifically in the connection of hope as well. So turning back to Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. Similar words as we've just read from the book of James, but it says this: not only this, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And later on in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's two lovely things that give us hope. Firstly, perseverance. And with that, the encouragement of the scriptures. Now, isn't the Lord gracious to do this? At times when we are, our hands maybe have dropped and we are feeling discouraged, the Lord brings to us the encouragement of the scriptures. How necessary it is for us, particularly if we are feeling like we're in a time of difficulty. We need to be in the Word of God because of the encouragement of the scriptures. If we don't have our time with the Lord in his word, we risk missing the encouragement of the scriptures that he wants to give us. Just think of Psalm 23, where the word says that he sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So again, if we're in a situation where we're facing opposition, how crucial it is that we come into the Lord's presence, because part of the way the Lord sustains us through those sorts of things is to set a table before us and to feed us. And that is in the scriptures. And it's the encouragement of the scriptures that we need. And coupled with that, perseverance, a willingness to, and a determination indeed, to keep going, to keep moving on with the Lord. The other thing I just want to say in this regard of active perseverance is from Luke 18. Now, it doesn't actually use the word perseverance at all, but nevertheless, it's so important. I wanted to mention it. And this is perseverance in prayer. And we can read in verses 1 to 8 of Luke 18, the parable of the judge who was badgered, we might say, by the persistent widow. And we are told that God will bring about justice for his elect, verse 7, who cry to him day and night. And so it's crucial that we show persistence, indeed perseverance, in prayer. We need to be willing to keep going. As it says in verse 1, Jesus told them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. May God grant us grace to persist in prayer. I just want to look now at a couple of verses about, if you like, the more passive sense of this word, in regard to just abiding under something. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6, first of all. So Paul writes, "If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort." But that phrase there, the patient enduring of the same sufferings. There is a time when we just need to patiently endure things. And that is that word, is the enduring there. It's the word we're considering today. You see a similar description in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "Therefore we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God, for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." How lovely that Paul commended the church of the Thessalonians among other believers for these qualities, their perseverance and their faith in the midst of persecutions and afflictions. And we'll see a little later on, these two things, perseverance and faith coming together, that the two are crucial and they really are coupled together. It is holding steadfastly to faith that will enable us to endure and therefore to persevere. And then in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, and verse 19. So this is the Lord speaking about what will happen towards the, or described as things to come, is the heading at least in my Bible. And let's just read from verse 16. It says, "But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish." Quite extraordinary that, given that verse 16 says that some of them will be put to death. And I think this is the Lord really wanting to highlight for us the kind of death that really matters. And death in this life, if we're in Christ, well, not a hair of our head has perished, really, because we're straight to glory. I preach that to my own soul, by the way. But verse 19 says, by your endurance you will gain your lives. And this is going to be a feature that becomes increasingly necessary at the end of the age, as the last days come. There will be increasing requirement for endurance in the people of God. And this phrase here, you will gain your lives or gain your souls. You think of how the Lord said elsewhere, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And so the challenge to us is to be the kind of people who are willing to lose this world and yet gain our souls, gain our lives. And we will do that by our endurance. So may God grant us the grace for it. So then, I just want to consider a couple of scriptures that will give us some indication of how we are to endure. Just a couple of brief things here. How are we to gain this kind of endurance? How are we to have it built into us? One of these things we've touched upon already, so in the book of Hebrews and chapter 12, let's turn there again. Reading from verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So firstly, the need to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. So sin clearly will entangle us. And we need to be willing to deal with sin and to lay sin aside in order that we are free to run the race. But then there are these encumbrances as well. And they are spoken of separately to the sin which so easily entangles us. And it's my conviction that there can be certain things in our lives that are perfectly fine to do in and of themselves. They're not wrong, they're not sinful, they're not displeasing to God in and of themselves, as I say, and yet they can be things that become an encumbrance to us if they gain more of an importance than they should, if they cause us just to have our focus too much in this life. And things which are perfectly good and wholesome risk encumbering us if they are not kept in their right and proper place. And so let us be just mindful of that and just allow the Lord to search our lives for those things which may be just holding us down a bit, just bogging us down, weighing us down, encumbrances that we could do without. May the Lord grant us to lay those things aside. And we're to run with endurance the race that's set before us. And then the next key to this is fixing our eyes on Jesus. What a lovely thing, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Taking him as our example, remembering how he endured, remembering how he persevered, remembering the steadfastness of Christ. Think about how his face was set steadfastly toward Jerusalem. He didn't turn from that. He didn't flinch from it. And so let's fix our eyes upon the captain of our salvation, the author and perfecter of faith. And how did he endure? Well, we're told, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the risk is that in a sense, the opposite of the endurance is that we grow weary and we lose heart. We become discouraged and we're tempted to slow up or to stop altogether in really pressing on with the Lord. But we need to set before us that joy. The Lord wants his people increasingly to fix our eyes upon the things which are above, not upon things that are on the earth. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So let's make sure that our joy is indeed all that is of the life to come. And remember, there is a joy ahead of us, even though we may need to endure for a season now. And then let's turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and let's read from verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What a great prayer Paul prays for these Colossian believers. And so notice that in verse 11 he is praying that they will be strengthened with all power for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. That word steadfastness there is the word we're considering. And so the steadfastness was going to be the product of having been strengthened with power. And the word power there is dunamis, which is the word that's used in a couple of places, Luke 24, verse 49, and Acts 1:8, specifically, in connection with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so, in order for there to be that real strengthening with power unto attaining steadfastness, the baptism in the Spirit is absolutely necessary. That will be necessary for us to have the power needed, that divine power born of the Spirit of God, for us to be steadfast, for us to persevere, for us to endure in these days. So that's another crucial aspect of this perseverance. As we draw to a close, I want to look at a few verses in the book of Revelation on this subject. So we see, first of all, that three of the churches are commended for their perseverance. So that's Ephesus, Thyatira, and Philadelphia. Each one of them obviously showed perseverance. But there are two specific references I want to look at. So in Revelation chapter 13, verse 10, it reads as follows. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. And then again in chapter 14, and verse 12, we read this. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And both of these scriptures, if you look at the context, it's in the context of the activity of the beast in the last days, the mark of the beast and his number and so on. The thing that marks out the saints in those days is their perseverance. So in Revelation 13, 10, their perseverance and faith. And then in 14, verse 12, the perseverance of those who keep the commandments of God and their faith. As we come into more challenging days, these aspects of perseverance and faith will be necessary for us to be able to be faithful to God, to keep his commandments. The pressures around us will be seeking to cause us to depart from the commandments of God, to compromise, to weaken our position, to mar our testimony. And therefore, we need perseverance in order to keep the commandments of God and to resist that temptation. And those who keep their faith, as the encouragement, as the discouragement increases, so there will be a temptation even to abandon the faith, and there will be that apostasy. Some will do that. And yet, we're told, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith. May God grant to us that same perseverance. May he help us to add it to our faith, to pursue it, in order that we may remain true to our God and press on all the more with him. Let's pray. Father, help us in these things. Lord, help us with the challenges. Lord, for any who are in the midst of a difficult thing, grant to us, Lord, to remain under it. Help us to endure. Help us to trust that what to us might just seem like a real mess, that actually, Lord, your purposes are woven into that, and you're creating character and completeness and maturity. Father, I pray that particularly in challenging days, that we would persevere, that we would hold fast our faith, that we would keep the commandments of our God. And Lord, help each one of us to endure to the end. Lord, your word says that he who endures to the end shall be saved. So put it within our hearts, we pray. Have mercy upon our weakness and fill us with your strength. And we ask that we will be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.